Welcome to another episode of the Around the Tuesday Table podcast. I'm Tammy Ressler, and I'm joined by my co-host and partner, Deborah Smith, aka Smitty. Hey, Smitty.
Hey.
Welcome to the show today. On today's episode, we are thrilled to have Veronica Watkins join us around the table. Veronica, Smitty, and I, we're going to be chatting about the power of mentoring in building and nurturing self-esteem, self-confidence, worth into the lives of young women of color. Hello, Veronica.
Hi, Tammy. How are you?
Hi, Tammy.
You have agreed to meet up with us today to share about a topic that is near and dear to your heart, mentoring and the power of it in the lives of young girls of color. You're passionate truly about building self-esteem and confidence, some self-love into these young girls and women of color. Is that kind of an accurate portrayal?
Yes, it's very accurate. It's something that I've wanted to do for a long time. Like you said, it's very near and dear. It's definitely a passion. So our mission statement, it simply states, is to engage, empower, and enlighten the lives of girls of color between the ages of 11 and 18 years old while building self-esteem, self-confidence, and self-worth. A lot of times when people hear me say girls of color, they automatically think if my young lady that I have that may be interested in the program is not of color, then we don't, you know, take that particular girl. And we do. We say girls of color because, you know, society, you know, we are the minority. And so there's a lot of things that or programs that are not necessarily catered to minority young women. And so instead of trying to find them, the Lord gave me a vision. And so I created one. We do take girls that are not of color, and we're happy to offer those services to them as well. But that's what the girls of color, that's our target audience.
Couple piggyback questions here I'm going to toss at you. Share with us, where did your vision for this mentoring program come from? And then secondly, what was the specific moment where you knew this was what you were to do?
I'm in my mid-40s, so it was a 20-year dream and vision that I had for a long time. But selfishly enough, I got caught up in my career. I had what I thought was an amazing career. It was a great ride. And, you know, sometimes God has a way of revealing things to us or allowing us to go through situations where his agenda will always be the agenda. So in my career, my job was eliminated. And during that time, really feel strongly that God just kind of sat me down and said, okay, you ready now? I showed you this 20 years ago. So are you ready? And so I basically answered the call and started this mentoring program. I saw a need. I had friends that were calling because they had young ladies that needed certain services and they felt like I could help. And so I answered that call and here I am.
Wow. Wow. Tell us a little bit about the program.
By bringing in girls that are not only of color, but we're bringing in girls who are also Caucasian, it exposes different cultures and we can learn from one another. And racism right now is on high alert on all from all sides, like where we don't really know how to react. Sometimes we're overreacting, sometimes we're not reacting enough. And so I just want to be able to have those young ladies come to the table, be able to freely talk and to know that it's a judge-free zone. You can share your heart, you can talk and know that you're not going to be judged and you're still going to be loved in the end. So each year we kick it off with a retreat. We do a 2-day retreat. We just have different women come in, different backgrounds, very diverse group of women, which I would love for you women to be a part of this year.
Oh.
Throw that in there. But we ask those women just to do one simple thing. I don't want it churchy because I don't want to turn away or have a girl who's maybe unchurched feel like just super religious, I'm going to be judged. So I don't want it churchy. Do we talk about God? Yeah. Do we have a way of ministering to them? And they probably don't even realize they're going to church. So it's just a unique way to minister, but also offer to them the program. And so we have different women come and share their life story. And that's all I want them to do. I just want you to tell your story, however much you do or don't want to share. And then we, you know, we do other stuff. We play games. We talk to them about girl stuff. And that's our 2-day retreat.
Why do you believe, you've mentioned self-esteem as a kind of a benchmark of this program. Mm-hmm. So why do you believe self-esteem is important in a girl's life?
My mom tells this story all the time. She said that when she was pregnant with me, being down south, the dialect is different. The way they talk is a little different. And I even find myself struggling. And I'll explain that here in a minute. But my mom said her prayer to God was, all of my weaknesses, which she was very insecure about the way she talks, I want you to make my daughter, give it to my daughters, her strengths. Like, just take all of my weaknesses and make them her strengths. And then, I thought, wow, that's a pretty cool prayer. So as I got older, of course, I prayed the same prayer for my kids, over my kids. And as a child, I think that, you know, the things that my mom taught me, it just made me independent. It made me strong. It made me a leader. It made me self-confidence. And it has given me the self-esteem that I have now. And when you have the self-confidence, of course, you have great self-esteem. What I was saying, I would go back to even now being on the radio, I find myself second guessing before I say something. How does that sound? You know, are they going to think that, well, Black people talk a certain way? Does she sound too Black? You know, I find that it's the insecurity that I do have, even though she prayed for me. That's my strength. We were on air this morning and there was a certain name that I had to read. And I was like, Kelly, help me out, because I'm not sure. Kelly probably didn't have a clue. But in my mind, I'm going, oh, man, like I'm struggling with making sure that I sound okay and that the way I articulate or the way I pronounce the words are okay. So, but yeah, I do feel like she did. That was a great prayer. And I love the fact that she did that for me.
And it's interesting. So as I hear you speaking about self-esteem and that you have it and you're confident and you're a leader, to hear you still be real and say, you know what, there are times those things kind of seep in there and cause my self-esteem to wobble. So how do I grab hold of self-esteem when it feels like the world might be crashing down?
At the end of the day, we are still human. And so as much as, like, you may hear a lot of women say, oh, she's a strong Black woman, or we're taught as kids, like, I'm talking about girls, like, we're taught, don't cry, you know, be strong, you know, or if somebody says something to you, this is how you respond, and be strong. Don't let someone feel like they can walk all over you and talk to you any kind of way. And so to other people, it can come across, I know you've heard the term angry Black woman. It can come across as an angry Black woman, but it's not. It's something that has been instilled in us that you stay strong, you hold your head up high, because at the end of the day, you may not be treated the same way. You know, you may walk into a room, like I have a friend, I love her to death. Her name is Jamie. And me and Jamie have been friends since high school. Jamie's white, I'm Black. And we were so close, we took senior pictures together.
I love that.
But I knew that if we walked into a room and we had to apply for a job, and this doesn't always happen, so don't think that I'm just throwing out a race card. This doesn't always happen. But I knew that there is a possibility if we walked into a job to apply for a job, and it was the same job, that there's a possibility she will get that job over me. But when it comes to self-esteem, what my mom has taught me is when you go in, this is how you respond. This is how you sit. This is how you talk. This is how you speak. And so it's almost like you feel like you have to be two steps ahead. I don't know if that makes sense. The other kind of example I can give is since working here at Moody, the young lady that did the job before me, we went to high school together, and this is kind of how I got the job. She referred me. And so when I'm here working, I don't know. I feel like I have to work twice as hard to get the respect that maybe she got or had. And so what ends up happening is, like, today they kept saying, oh my God, I don't understand how you get so much work done. You're doing it so effortlessly. But in the back of my head, I'm second guessing everything I'm doing. Do I have the confidence? Do I have the self-esteem? In my head, I don't, but I've been taught to, you show it. Even if you don't feel it, even if you don't, you show it. You walk in the room like the job is yours. Even though in my mind, I'm going, I'm probably not going to get this job. But my outer language is saying, I got this.
Who were some of your role models, or if you want to call them mentors, in your life as a young girl?
I have a lot of them, but just a few of them that I can think of. Of course, my mom is definitely one. And I know, like, when people typically ask me that question, they're surprised, because I have another lady that, I mean, she is such a great role model and mentor for me. Her name is Janae, and she was actually general manager for the casino here in town. She's now a CEO of a casino up north, but she was a woman that played and plays a great role in my life. And she's taught me a lot, especially in that industry, because I had no experience. And so for her to kind of take me under her wings and teach me was pretty cool. And of course, my grandmother was one. Joanne Wilkerson, I love this woman to pieces. There's not a day, well, maybe a couple days, but it's very few days that we don't talk. We talk almost every day. She's like a second mother to me. And she, out of all of the women I talked about when I was in the youth group, she was the realest. And she held me accountable. And the one thing that I love about Ms. Wilkerson is it did not matter what I did. She never made me feel like, oh my gosh, that was stupid. Or, you know, why would you do that? She was just like, well, now we know what we have to pray for. Now we know. And she would tell, so what does the Bible say about that, Veronica? Mm. My daughter, she's my daughter. So that's probably a shock for people. But the reason my daughter is one of the women that I love and admire in my life is because she is everything that I wish I was at her age. She has exceeded my expectations of where she is in life. She's 21. She's in her senior year of college. Everything that I wish I would have done, like, came right out of high school, went ahead and went straight through college. I didn't do. I was married by the time I was 19. And she's so full of wisdom. It is mind-blowing to me that some of the decisions that she makes. Like, she just recently, over the last year or so, she broke up with her boyfriend. And I was like, so why'd you guys break up? She said, I got to focus on school. Right now, that was too much of a distraction. My focus is to finish school. And I'm just like, girl, if I had half of what you have now, I would probably be so much further in life. But yeah, I'm super proud of her. Yes.
And now I want to kind of jump in here and ask a question. Veronica, what do you think is really unique to the younger generation today than, say, 10 years ago? And do you think that technology plays a role in that?
You know, I think the younger generation have social media at their fingertips. I mean, technology in general. And yes, I believe it plays a huge role in their perspective and their outlook on life. The one thing that I see, especially with our younger people in terms of social media, is social media can give you a false sense of reality. And so what ends up happening is they're looking at other people, whether they're celebrities or they have now what they're called influencers. There's people on Facebook that they're considered influencers because they have so many followers, or, you know, people look up to them. But there's so many filters and so many things. So when a girl is looking at, I don't know, I'm just going to name a person off the top of my head, a Beyonce. And don't get me wrong, she's beautiful. But when she's posting pictures, whether she had them edited or whether she used a filter, that's probably not what she looks like in real life, because they can remove the blemishes. They can, if you have scars on your face, they can remove that with a simple filter. And so it gives them a false hope of, or a false sense of reality, or who that person is. And then ultimately that starts to make this girl or young lady that's looking at this, make them want to be something that doesn't even exist, because that perfect person that they think they see does not exist. And so we have this segment of our program called Girl, You Are the Brand. And it's all about social media etiquette. And we're teaching them. And so what I'm telling them is, from a marketing perspective, you are your brand. What people see every day, when I walk out that door and people see me, they're looking at Veronica Watkins Incorporated. Mm. So if I want to be known as Twerking Veronica, and all I'm posting are pictures of me twerking, that's what people are going to start recognizing me as. Or if you're half dressed all the time, that's what people are going to start, oh, you talking about Veronica, she never has one. Yeah, that's what they're going to. So it's really important how we market ourselves. So we talk to them about having proper etiquette on social media and to just be themselves. They don't have to be. God made you unique. There's only one Tammy. There's only one Deborah. There may be other Tammys, but there's no Tammy like you. So, you know, we're all unique and different. So, you know, just teaching them to market themselves.
All of us, every single one of us, you, me, Tammy, mm-hmm. all of your young girls that are in your program, we are all influencers. Mm. We are all influencers. If you have a circle of people around you in friendships, in church groups, in your work, professional life, people are watching you. People are listening to what you have to say. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter whether that circle of influence is 1, 10, 1,000, 10,000. Mm-hmm. You are an influencer. Mm-hmm. And exactly goes back to what you're saying, Veronica, that how you present that, how you talk, how you dress, how you respond in kindness or how you treat people, you are influencing the people around you. So it's powerful.
It is.
It is very powerful.
It is. And it reminds me too, when you say that, I'm really careful. Especially now that I have the mentoring program, I was careful before because of my own children, but I'm very careful about what I post because I know that they're looking. I know I have little eyes. Now I have 30 little eyes looking at me. It does matter, you know, in terms of, like you said, we're all influencers and they are watching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are. So we've defined that we all pretty much are influencers in some way. So how do women of influence to young girls help support that building of esteem and confidence?
When I get mad, I have my little journal and I will write it all out, whether I'm hurt, whether I'm upset, whether I'm angry. And that's my way of getting it out of my system. So what I've done is I've taught this strategy to our girls because I think it's so healthy for them. And it's also a way of letting them know it's okay to be angry. There is nothing wrong with you being angry. The Bible gives us permission to do that. It just says not to sin. So if they want to come in my office and we shut the door and they want to cuss and fuss at the wall, I will let them go for it all day long. It is a judgment-free zone because at the end of the day, I'd rather them take that anger out on a wall than for them to walk out of there and take it out on a person, whether it's their mom, their sister, their mentor, mentee. You know, that's just to me the best way to handle that.
We as women, I think, can listen to these things. And, you know, as you talked about getting on the internet, kind of looking and seeing how people influence. And so I know in my mind, I start that reel like, well, I'm not perfect. I've totally blown it. Definitely don't have it all together. So my brand is kind of tainted. Like I've blasted people on social media more than once. I have not been my best self relationally, whether it be in my marriage or with my kiddos. And so I can go into that, you know what? I'm just not worthy to be a woman of influence or a mentor. And I think, what would you say to me, or how would you encourage other women who maybe I'm not alone in that thinking, but how would you encourage women who might be battling or believing those things to step forward and say, you know what, you can change the trajectory of your life so that it can positively impact the youngers who need
you. Those women are the perfect women to mentor. And I say that because if you can say, look, I battle with this, I've blasted people on Facebook, that means you're not perfect. Mm. You're human. We all go through things. We've all been there, done that. I'm not perfect. I've said stuff once. I've had to delete a couple posts, you know? But I think having those other women in my life, like a Joanne Wilkerson, who can call me and say, take it down, take it down. You know, because at the end of the day, we are human. So I don't want any woman thinking she has to be perfect or have it together to come to work with us. Because if you are, I don't want you. If you're perfect and you got it together, I don't want you. I think they need to see women who are real. And this is the thing, Tammy. I always say, oh, yeah, we're here to help these young ladies, blah, blah, blah. But they help me so much. Like, I have grown so much just from working with them, just the different stories that they share and the things that they've gone through. I've learned more from them. I'm not going to say more than they've learned from me because I don't know, only they would know that. But I've learned so much from them. And I think just being willing to come to the table and being willing to expose yourself to let it all out and to be transparent. Mm-hmm. I think that's the first step to mentoring, because if you can't be transparent and if you can't show who you are, then you're not going to be able to help them. And we all have gone through something. And in order for us, like the best lesson in life, I'm not saying to go put yourself through situations, but I think the best teacher in life for me has been those obstacles. It's been those times where I've fallen and I've had to get back up. The thing about falling down is not staying there. It's standing and getting back up. So I got pregnant my freshman year of college. I could have said, forget it. I'm not going back to school. I could have done a lot of things, but I didn't. I said, you know what? I made a mistake. I fell down. Let me dust my shoulders off. Let me get back up and pick back up. Okay, Lord, now where do I go? I'm sorry. Forgive me. I repented. Mm-hmm. Now where do I go from here? So just not staying there and knowing that it's okay if you make a mistake. The key is to not keep making the same mistake and to come and just share your heart and be willing to learn and be willing to share. Mm.
Veronica. Love your honesty about where you've been. You know, you've interwoven some pieces of your story in there. And just hearing how your dream of mentoring has kind of come to fruition for you, your pure heart for taking this program and really pouring into the lives of young girls of color and just passing it on. For us and our listeners, we hope you will be encouraged to reflect on the power of mentoring, that you could see this value that's in that, and maybe even find a mentor or be a mentor. What would it look like if you took steps where you could serve and love on that younger generation? And ultimately, what Veronica said, it comes back to you. And so there's that mutual sharpening. You can be a mentor, but you can so be mentored by that little mentee. So thank you guys for joining us around the table today, sharing your story and your heart for mentoring these young girls of color. So may we all be nudged to be or find a mentor, knowing that's going to be and have positive results. And it's a wrap for this one.
It is a wrap. Woohoo! Good job, everybody.
Thanks.
We did
Thanks
good.
For having me. Oh. That was fun.
That was fun.
No, I love
well
it.
Well done. Thank you.